Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's your final hour here, WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. We are live at Scores on Canal Street as we get ready for the home opener here. Your Boston Bruins taking on the Montreal Canadiens tonight on Causeway Street. The show today brought to you by Jameson, official partner of the Boston Bruins, featuring Jameson Black Barrel and Jameson Orange Specialty Cocktails, which if you're at the bar right now, and a lot of you are, you can go ahead and order one of those from the fine staff here at Scores, who has been keeping everyone happy all day long since we got here at 2 o'clock, and will be well into the night as the Bruins now look to erase what was an ugly start to the year down in Florida with the Panthers, with hopefully a big win over a Montreal Canadiens team that did win last night. They did beat Toronto, and they beat them 1-0. But I think they're going to come here on the second night of a back-to-back, and the Bruins are going to be ready for them. At least I hope so, because I already had my big reaction to that first opener. That was the Panthers. That was a sort of emotional thing there, I think, for the team and for everybody else. You can't have two straight letdowns. You can't have a letdown now against Montreal, against this team that manages only 70-something points last season. That can't also happen. I'm drawing the line right here on two games.
I feel like two straight letdowns means you're not a good team. It's not a letdown. Letdown implies you're let down from your normally solid level of play or energy.
Right.
If it happens twice, it might be who you are. I don't expect it at all. First of all, Montreal is not going to get a 48 save shutout. I feel like I don't know if I can go in the books and somehow place a wager on that, but I'm pretty sure they're not going to get a 48.
I think your odds probably wouldn't even be worth it.
Not be worth it, right. So I think that's a lock, and I think there's just going to be a natural energy and buzz, and it's unfortunate that they didn't meet that challenge in Florida, because I thought there was an opportunity there to, you said, make a statement, and they kind of made a different statement down there. But that's an opportunity. We've seen it in NFL games where teams go out. Who was it last year? Was it the Lions? Lions made a statement to start the NFL season against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Like, that game in these sports, especially in physical sports like hockey and football, I think that game against the champion, their banner, their ring, they're doing whatever. I think there is now an opportunity to make a statement like, oh, yeah, we would like to enter the conversation for this year. You know, challenge your title. Like, we got next kind of thing.
That Montreal goalie, by the way, Montembeau, I kind of like him. And I don't like anybody in Montreal, but I like him because he's kind of a fat guy. Like, you know, he's like sort of a – he's like 225 or something like that. He's tall, but he's kind of hefty. I like a hefty goalie.
Hefty goalie.
Yeah, you know.
So you don't like Swayman.
I do like Swayman.
You love Swayman.
Swayman's very skinny. But
he's skinny and you love
him. The novelty of a fat goalie, I think, is sort of fun. You know, I just kind of enjoy that. You think about – you know, you think about the great goalies over the years, and a lot of them were just these little, agile, spry guys.
Well, because you got to be, like, flexible and
pliable. And you got to move around in the crease, and you got to go around behind and do all these things, and that's fine, which is why it's sort of a novelty when you see a fat guy.
Well, the reality is, everybody loves fat guys in all of sports, right?
It's true, yeah.
Like, we always root for them.
When that fat guy ran that ball back,
the interception.
It was unbelievable.
Everybody gets excited, or when a fat guy scores a touchdown, or... You know, some
Dan Connolly returning that kick.
Absolutely.
Was the most electric play I've ever seen.
Basketball players. Who was the guy from...
Someone told him there was a delicious ham in the end zone.
NC... Was it NC? Who was the tournament? NC State, whoever had, like, the big fat... Like,
yes.
Everybody is always in love with those big fat guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is. But you need to be in love with your skinny goalie tonight, because I think he is the guy that sets the tone in this game. I'm going to hope that... This isn't another game where by the time I get home and turn on my TV, they're already trailing 2-0 like it was the other night. Hopefully that's not the case. But I think the tone needs to be set early. Like, come out, score, be aggressive in the offensive end, get a couple saves for Swayman. Because I do think everybody has a little bit of, wonder what he's going to look like.
Right.
He probably has a little bit of, what am I going to look like? It's why I wasn't opposed to the idea of playing him the third period the other night in...
Just to get his skates
under garbage.
Him. Yeah,
treat
absolutely.
It as preseason action, even though it's regular season action. But I think you have an opportunity to pounce in this one. As we said earlier, press the reset button, and then all will be well. Like, I thought Razor was very... And I know he's generally a pretty optimistic guy.
Yes.
Sees the glasses half full.
And he doesn't overreact very often. That's
right.
You know, like...
And that's good. That's probably good counterbalance to you and the way you overreact and, you know, texts in first period about the shot differentials and things of that nature.
What do you want from me?
But, no, I think this will be a good opportunity. But as you said, if it isn't, then it's like, wait a minute. You laid an egg in Florida where there was an inspiration. Your head coach said there was an inspiration watching them celebrate. Then you come home against a team playing back-to-back that's probably not all that good of a hockey
team.
Yeah,
who sucks.
And you lay another egg. Now it's like, what the hell's going on here? And I found the most interesting answer that Razor had with us, the Jim Montgomery answer, about, because we wonder how these things resonate with players and in locker rooms, dress rooms. And his was very, why aren't you signing our coach? Give our coach what he wants. Like, that kind of message. I don't think it'll come to that. My guess is... Just sort of one of these days we're like, oh, there's the report. Bruins signed Jim Montgomery to a 3-year extension.
And I understand that they've had two very good regular seasons with him, but, you know, he's like, well, only two teams have won the Cup since Montgomery took over. That's true, but you only won one playoff round since he took over, and you had the best record that anyone's ever had.
The worst upset in the history of hockey.
Right. So, I mean, you have that under your belt right now. Last year I wouldn't even consider an upset because, wow, it is flowing in here again, isn't
Hardy's
it?
Hardy's getting started.
Oh, that is that's nice. Anyways. It's the second time now that Cheech and Chong walked by, I guess. But, yeah, that's that's fine. I think with Montgomery, you may like him, and they may have a lot of respect for him, and that's fine. But you also don't necessarily get the most out of your team in those situations. They didn't all love Butch Cassidy. They went to a Cup final with Cassidy. And they didn't win, obviously, but that was as far as they've made in a long time. This is generally a team that makes it one round max. I mean, that's about where they top out most of these seasons when they make it to the playoffs. One round, win one round maybe, sometimes get knocked out in the first round. That's happened a bunch of times, too, with the occasional, you know, it's very rare that this team loses in, like, the conference finals. I can't even remember the last time they made it to the conference finals and lost. If they make it to the conference finals, they go to the Cup, which they have, like, twice in the last 10 years. But other than that, it's the first round, it's the second round, and that's about it. That's about as high as this gets. And that's because there's always been these other teams in front of them. So this would be nice for this year to see them establish themselves as a team that everyone else has to go through. And I know that 2 years ago, that's sort of what they were.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you get to the end of that, and very quickly they were bounced out of the playoffs. I'd like to see that persist and become a thing that isn't just the same old story, same old Bruins once you get to the playoffs this year.
And you were talking about the offensive punch and guys kind of elevated roles, guys with something to prove, geeky.
Yeah.
I think Lindholm is in that world. And like that front line, that first line, he was brought in to be literally, figuratively sort of the centerpiece of that. And I think he's a guy that fans are going to keep an eye on based on the paycheck and based on where this team is up against the cap, and that's a heavy investment. Also based on, which I would shy away from if I were him, the Bergeron comparisons.
Right.
I would try to, like, I'm my own guy. Like, I've been in the league for a while. I kind of have my own career. I play, you know, up and down the ice and do certain things, but, you know, as Scott told us the other day, you don't want to be comparing yourself to one of the best of all time.
No.
Certainly not in the same city where that memory immediately brings expectations that are
right.
going to be hard for you to
Other people
live
do
up
that
to
you, fine. But you
sure.
know, I mean,
yeah, we do that.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
what we do. But I don't think the team should necessarily be answering. It's sort of like in the Hernandez show last night when Belichick yells at him for the clip he gives the Globe about, like, I don't have to worry about them. They need
right.
to worry about me. Like, other people can say stuff about you, and that's fine, but don't feed the beast of the comparisons to Bergeron, because I think he's going to be a guy that just inherently, with the contract, expectations. Like, oh, you're going to be something special because you're one of the highest-paid players on the team.
Yeah, Brian just told me 1992 was the last time the Bruins lost in the conference finals, which it tells you they don't get there very often. I mean, really, like, 2011 they clearly did and they won. 2014 they got to the Cup and lost. 2019. Other than that, you don't have a lot of conference final appearances. And for a team that wins so often in the regular season, that's, you know, it's a little bit disappointing, I think. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones, talk to Joe in the car. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to give a quick thing. The Bruins lost like 15 overtime games last year. If they won at like half of them, they would have got the President's Cup, the Atlantic, and whatnot. That probably would have been a problem for the team overall. Still don't think they would have got past Florida, but maybe that could have changed something. But
maybe.
Not
I mean, if they're not getting past Florida anyway, Joe, then what's the difference, I think? Like, they won that first-round series against Toronto, the best matchup you can have if you're the Bruins, or really any team, because Toronto always loses in the first round. And, you know, I think you were eventually going to run into Florida one way or another, or maybe Carolina, or maybe one of these other teams that's sort of been your boogeyman here over the last couple of years. And that's sort of the problem, isn't it? There's always a team like that with these guys. There's always a team that they just can't seem to solve, and they always end up meeting them in the playoffs.
At the end of the year last year, too, didn't they manipulate it so they would play Toronto
yes,
as opposed
yes.
to Tampa Bay? They intentionally lost the last two games. So
yes.
I don't think they wanted the President's Trophy. They intentionally tried to get Toronto
right.
so they could avoid Tampa Bay.
And, I mean, if the Patriots hadn't lost two games that were one score, they'd be 3-2, whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, sports is all about ifs. If,
right.
If the Patriots missed a couple field goals, they wouldn't have as many titles. And, like, they were who they were last year. And you're right. They manipulated it and got what they wanted and then didn't get what they needed in the end.
No, they did not. Outside of Jeremy Swayman, there's been some line changes already. The personnel, I think, is something that's going to be a question that comes up a lot over the course of this season, just based on guys that they picked up, guys that they've sort of rotated in already, and guys that they've now rotated out, like Max Jones.
That was quick.
Who you mostly remember from slashing the ref last game.
That really bothered you.
I mean, it only bothered me because I was hoping they would do that to the Panthers, you know, like maybe slash one of those guys.
Well, he was trying.
He was, you know.
He missed.
Maybe aim for the guy in the red shirt, not the guy in the stripes. That might be a good place to start there, Max. And listen, I mean, I know he's new to the team here, but
he's
not new to hockey. You know, you're not supposed to hit those referees. And that was really it. I mean, he hit them harder than he hit any Florida Panther in that game. So, yeah, and in general, I think that Montgomery said it best when he said, I can't bench everyone. Everyone was really bad. It was a bad effort all around. So we're going to try and get some more people involved and do that early in the season, which generally I think is a smart move. Baseball teams do that. It's a long season. You want to see what you have early on and try and get your rotation, especially when you spent a lot of money in the offseason and brought in a lot of new guys. You want to see who's who and what's what and who has chemistry and all that stuff early in the year. I'm fine with that, and I think that's something that they're going to be doing probably for the next, you know, couple of weeks. Either way, it's going to be interesting to see how some of these new guys fit in. It's going to be interesting to see how the old guys play with the new guys. Like, I think that there's a lot of that because the core of this team didn't change that much. You lost DeBrusk, you lost Heinen. There's some guys who came and went here, but the D core is mostly the same. The top six is mostly the same. You know, you still have a lot of the same pieces, and I just wondered if they did enough to sort of augment them.
And are they done? Like,
right.
I do think there's going to be, as you mentioned, they've been as aggressive as anybody in this town or in hockey maybe at the deadline over the years. And I know there'll be some creative cap maneuverings or whatever by the time we get to that point, but you have to give this core a chance to play hockey
yeah.
and to build rapport and figure out you know, how Lindholm does fit and what the top two line scoring potential is and where the secondary scoring is coming from. And hopefully the D pairings will be better than they were the other night, because I think that needs to be the strength of the team.
Yeah.
And if that isn't, I think that will be sort of a fracturing of sort of why you would underachieve right there, because I am pretty confident that Swayman is going to be who he is, and I'm pretty confident that Pasta is going to score goals, and I'm pretty confident you're not going to be a great goal-scoring team. I don't know that you even have that real upside
right.
to be a great. So that D unit that is supposed to be good and is supposed to be deep, I mean, there's some people that think that that's as deep as any in hockey.
I mean, on paper it is.
Right.
On paper it definitely is.
On ice, what does it look like? Because I didn't think it looked great
on ice
at the end
so
of
far,
last year.
It doesn't look like anything.
But even the end of last year, I didn't think it looked great either. Mm-hmm. So you finished last season a certain way on the defensive end, and then you start this season, I think, in a similar disappointing fashion. That's the area that, to me, most can decide how good this team can be in the regular season.
I just saw a guy in a Zadorov jersey walk by. He must have just got that. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll take a quick break here. We'll take your Bruins phone calls. And when we come back, we will reset on the Patriots. Alex Van Pelt on board the May train. We'll get to that and the latest from Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler on Drake May. And if he struggles, who do you expect is going to be the one to fix him? We'll get to all of that right after Stiz tells you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up one last time at what's trending right now before Fitzy and Shime take over in a little bit to get us ready for some Thursday night football. Patriots back on the practice field today as they continue to get ready for their Week 6 tilt against the Houston Texans. Kickoff Sunday at 1 p.m. from Gillette Stadium. Ramondre Stevenson did not participate in practice yesterday or today, and if he ends up out or limited, Antonio Gibson would be next in line for Week 6 snaps. Week 6 in the NFL kicks off tonight. 49ers in Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Kickoff at 8:15 from Lumen Field. You can hear the call of that game right here on WEEI. Our Westwood One coverage will begin at 7:30. The home opener for your Boston Bruins goes down tonight as the Bruins host the Canadiens. Puck drops at 7 p.m. from Causeway Street. Jeremy Swayman will get the start in net for your Boston Bruins. If you're down near the TD Garden, Arcan and Hart down there for about another hour. They're down at Scores, so if you're down there, stop by and hang out with the guys to celebrate the Bruins' home opener. And in the MLB, the Mets headed to the NLCS for the first time in 9 years after they beat the Phillies 4-1 last night. They'll face the winners of the Padres and Dodgers. That series currently tied at 2 games apiece. The Guardians taking on the Tigers tonight, first pitch at 6 o'clock. And the Yankees will face the Royals tonight. That game will kick off at 8 p.m. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show with Arcan and Hart coming up.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That was Jacoby Brissett from earlier today, I believe. Was that today or yesterday?
Yep.
That was today. Yeah, he spoke today. Had media availability. I was a little surprised to see that he was talking at all, because while he was the starter, you didn't hear from May really ever. I didn't even realize until we went to go play those old clips of his. I was like, man, there hasn't been new Drake May sound since the season started, really. And now that May's the starter, Brissett still getting some mic time there. His status as a captain, I think, has a lot to do with that.
Yep.
And I was a little intrigued by the way he was answering some of these questions. A little on the melodramatic side, I think, but, you know, it's his career, it's his life. Just very strong language he was using.
Yeah, but neither are over. Neither his career nor his life are over.
Right.
He's still going to collect his $8 million, and I don't like to go down the, he's making $8 million, shut up and just take it. Like, I feel for him. He's a competitor. He wanted to start, but I also, you know, you didn't see the writing on the wall.
Right.
I mean, you haven't really been playing well. Your team's not winning. Your team has actually been trending in the wrong direction since week one. If you flipped the schedule and told me they beat the Bengals this week and with the performance
after
he had week one,
the first four,
then I can see him being like absolutely blown away. Like, what the hell happened? I just played a good game. I did everything you asked me to do. It's been trending in this direction. The questions have been building. Now, I will say there was a weird, and I wonder if the passing of the information to him might have something to do with this. As of us speaking with him Monday night, he planned on starting, right? And then it leaks out the next day, and then Mayo's like, well, that's unfortunate, and then they try to clean it up and say, no, he actually told both quarterbacks on Monday night, which I'm still not sure I believe. I still think they may have found out on Tuesday, not Monday. So he may be a little bit perturbed or annoyed.
Do you think they found out from him on Tuesday or from the media?
No, I think they were probably told.
Okay.
I think they were probably told. But I don't think it was necessarily on – and then the team didn't find out. But I could see him being annoyed with the handling of the situation.
Right.
But to just sort of pretend that you were just caught off guard by the fact that you might get replaced, as Mike Lombardi says, the team hasn't thrown for 150 yards. You're not scoring touchdowns. You're not making plays. You're unable to beat other teams that are borderline inept themselves. Like, you can't get out of your own way. He had to have seen the writing on the wall, and there's also the chance that in 2 weeks he's back in there. Because what did we say about the hits on Brissett? Not sustainable.
Right.
Well, that means they're going to be not sustainable on a younger, less experienced quarterback, too. So 2 weeks he could be back.
Who hasn't been getting hit in the league for 10 years,
right,
whatever it is, and doesn't know necessarily what that's like. And
by men.
The best way to fall and all that crap. Yeah. I mean, there's parts of it that are important. And just, you know, the internal clock and the timing and sensing the rush and all of that. I mean, you disagree. I think that's going to be a challenge for him. That's new for him. That's completely new for someone like Drake May.
Well,
whatever Brissett's shortcomings are, at least he knows when the rush is coming. And maybe he took off a little early sometimes, but in the first two games, I don't think he did. In the first two games, he had to run. I mean, he had to take off. Otherwise, he would have gotten beat up even more than he was.
Yeah, I think it'll be an issue for May. I just think he's better suited to deal with it, and he's used to dealing with it. I always think that quarterbacks that aren't athletic run sooner because they have to.
Right.
Like, it's like they don't have that extra second to take their time, figure it out, see the play develop, because they don't trust their own speed and athleticism. I think May will trust his speed and athleticism, but the hits, I absolutely think there's going to be a learning curve there. He has not been hit by men. Have you ever seen Danelle Hunter?
Yeah.
He
The other guy, they got two
Will
great
Anderson.
Edge rushers.
Will Anderson.
Will Anderson. Both of those guys are
but
monsters.
Danelle Hunter is, like, jacked.
Yeah.
He's a guy that if he gets his hands on you, he's gonna hurt you.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a little bit of a developmental curve there for him. But
this is the team that body slammed Josh Allen unconscious last week.
Yes.
When's the last time you heard Josh Allen even take a strong pop? Like, he's usually the one delivering those.
Correct.
When he gets out in the open, and these guys slammed him into the ground like Kiko Alonso and Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, that's what it looked like.
And this is, you know, a younger version of Josh Allen. That's what people are hopeful of, right? That you're going to play that
right.
way, that you're that next guy, and they just took the real version and broke him.
Yeah,
sort
suplexed
of.
Him.
There's definitely, and I just wonder what Brissett's mindset is. I hope he is what we all assume he is and continues to be a captain and a leader, and I expect him to. Until
yeah.
I see otherwise,
and
I'm going to assume he
good
is.
Good backup. I think he'll be a good backup.
I don't think May was giving lip service when he spoke the other day, talking about what a great leader and mentor and guy he's
right.
been. But I also think, and I don't think May met him as shots, but like that one point when he goes, well, we're 1-4. This league's about winning. You know, he's like being realistic.
Yep.
Like, he sees the writing on the wall. We're 1-4, and this league is about winning.
Yeah.
Does Brissett not say, we're 1-4, and this league is about winning? Like, he should know that. He's been around. He's been on so many bad teams and teams with quarterback changes mm-hmm. and teams without quarterbacks and that whole thing. So I it does surprise me, and I wonder if some of it was the deployment, or maybe he had an inkling of the plan, and maybe the plan has been expedited. Maybe they said, November. You're going
right.
to be the quarterback for September and October.
That's what we heard from a lot of people. Is the guess was, well,
November
is probably
yep.
when they'll do it. And it's
Burt
like,
Breer was saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Breer Kern, I think.
Kern
said that.
Was
like,
saying
yeah.
that. Or
And I think that was informed speculation. I don't think
yes.
that they just made that up. I think someone told them that's what the plan was.
And I'm not sure they said necessarily November 17th or whatever to Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
But he may have gotten some sort of an indication that I got a couple months.
Yeah.
And then he's like, wait, I only get a month and a little bit more than that and I'm out. So maybe that's part
of
it,
too. If Polk landed in bounds, he would have got at least another week.
Well, Polk will tell you if they change the stupid rule. That's
right.
a dumb rule.
Yeah, well, it's been the rule this whole time there, Jalen. Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler at ESPN do a weekly column where they talk about news updates, predictions, and questions, and they did a true or false on the Patriots, and it reads as follows. True or false, the Patriots are making the right call in pivoting to Drake May. Fowler.
True!
Fowler says false.
Oh, he's an idiot.
Stick to the plan. New England has long wanted May, the number 3 overall pick, to get something close to a redshirt year. The offensive line is only getting worse. Not true.
Did you see that redshirt year? He's advocating for redshirt years among quarterbacks.
Yeah, and you just called him an idiot, so that's interesting. This feels like an inflection
Touché.
Point. Play May now and deal with the growing pains, or protect him and make the 2025 starter from the first day of the offseason. We've seen this show too many times. The rookie QB thrust into action in the name of teams trying to see what they have. How'd that work for Bryce Young? The Patriots are not one player away. I agree that they're not one player away from competing. I don't think this is about them competing. This is about their quarterback going out there and elevating a little bit and getting them out of the basement, which in some ways you could say is counterintuitive to what they want to do. They want a good draft pick. They want to be
yes.
able to pick high and bring in a blue chip tackle or a wide receiver, whatever it is that they go for in the draft here. But I agree, they're not one player away. But they are unwatchable when the other guy's out there quarterbacking, and you don't want an unwatchable product, even if it means you're going to be picking 7th instead of 1st overall in the upcoming draft. Graziano says, I've changed my mind on this, and I'm going to go with true. I get the idea of not wanting to play May too soon in a bad situation for fear that compounding negativity affects his development, but the current condition of this offense under Brissett makes me feel like, at least at the beginning, the effect on the Patriots and May would be a net positive, which is what you were saying, Andy. May showed in the preseason he has a special ability as a thrower and can make plays with his legs to an extent Brissett cannot. If you're a player in New England staring at 12 or more games of this level of futility, you've probably been hoping something drastic would happen to inject some life into the place. I like it. And this goes to the locker room and a great point that you made last week, I want to say, about how you can't keep going into that locker room and telling these guys that you got to give your all and you got to give us everything you got. And by the way, we're not going to put the quarterback out there who gives you the best chance to win, and you all know he's better, and it just doesn't matter because we have this special plan, and sorry it's going to screw with a year of all your careers, which in the NFL could be someone's entire career.
Yep.
And sorry about that. You're just going to have to suck it up and deal with it, and that's the way it is. You can't function as a team like that. You just can't.
Right. And there are guys, you know, you sort of say 1 year, but Tyquan Thornton's in like a make or break point in his career.
Yeah.
Right? And a couple plays could change his trajectory. A couple deep balls could change the way he's viewed here.
Absolutely.
Or the opportunities he gets somewhere else. Kayshon Booty. Like some of these receivers that are like, they're tweener. Are they really league receivers? So I think that is an important part of this. The one thing I dislike about Fowler, for example, mm-hmm. like this whole argument all along has been cherry picking of information. Like, how'd that work out for Bryce Young?
Right.
And okay, so how'd it work out for Jaden Daniels? Or how'd it work out for Joe Burrow?
CJ Stroud, yeah.
Or, like,
a lot of guys.
I can find counterexamples where it worked out just fine and it mm-hmm. turned the franchise around and a year or two later, whatever. I mean, so that annoys me, that cherry picking. The right guy, I believe every team in the NFL, I don't care how bad you are, is one player away. Because a special quarterback changes everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Fair.
And so
I do think that there's something. I don't think it's unfair or disingenuous, though, to say that this team is so bad that even a good quarterback would have a hard time winning with them. Like I thought that about the team last year. I thought even if you brought a good quarterback in here, you know, someone much better than Mac Jones, this offense is just dysfunctional. These receivers all stink. The line's a sieve. Like you got all these problems.
What would this team be with Josh Allen at quarterback?
I mean,
or a guy like Justin Herbert,
better. I think this team would be better.
And last year's would have definitely been better.
Yeah.
They won four games last year. They probably won 8 or 9 with Josh Allen. Like they're eight or nine.
Yeah. I mean, there
he's
was a
good.
Bunch
I mean, those low scoring.
They won
games.
A bunch of lost the games 10-7, 6-0, 10-6. Like yeah, probably.
You're gonna tell me Superman like Josh Allen can't sway one of those? So that's what I mean. I'm not saying you go from 4 wins to you're the Chiefs and annually you're winning every.
Right.
But you go from 4 wins, bottom of the league, to mid portion to upper middle class in the league. And now if you add in those other things, that's what pushes you up into the upper class. But I really believe that every team in the NFL is one player away, and that special quarterback changes everything. Because I think it's the what I talked about earlier, the belief and all the like the locker room and mm-hmm. the camaraderie and the not having factions and fractures. And I think the quarterback, it's what I've told you, like when you look at what Jaden Daniels is doing, and I'm not talking about on the field, I'm talking about literally like look at the way he carries himself.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, huh, that guy's franchise quarterback, huh?
Yeah.
Like there's just a certain aura about him that has changed everything with Washington. And I know it obviously has to be connected to the winning and the on-the-field success and all that. Like Washington is now, power rankings have them in like the top whatever,
top
6.
Top 10, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, Washington? Didn't they just pick number 2 overall?
Sure did.
Didn't they just get sold because their owner was a creep? And didn't they just get a new coach?
And aren't they in a division with two like powerhouse teams right now? Like, yeah, there's a lot of didn't they's there when it comes to that.
Like
team.
Their coach, no one even likes Dan Quinn. They're like, they're gonna hire that guy?
Yeah, defensive minded guy, not some big offensive genius young player. You know, like this is similar in a lot of ways to some of these other teams where it completely went south and they didn't have the right guy. And it's just, you know, in this case, it seems to be working. Although it's still very early in the season. We'll see what Washington ends up being. But right now, they're throwing parties down there, and they should be. 617-779-7937. Tim's in Hanover. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Andy, you finally got your guy. You got your guy up there on the board now. He's going to play.
You're damn
right. Here's what I want to see. I want to see this kid play 5 or 6 games. We should know what he's got by then and get him out. I want to see
that.
I want to see the Pats. Yeah, hear me out. Hear me out.
Okay, all right,
I want to see the Pats. I want to see the Pats check on everybody else they acquired. We want to see if they're any good because we have to get new people. If not, get out the bad and bring in some guys that are going to help the team and help the quarterback get to where he got to be, because he's going to have a rough go with this team we got.
All right, thanks for the call, Tim. I think that if they play 5 or 6 games and he's getting absolutely destroyed out there and you're worried that he's going to suffer some sort of career-altering injury, then you can take him out. If he goes out there and he's okay to good, you're not taking him out after 6 games. What are you, nuts?
I'm with Curran.
He's
I'm not planning
there.
On taking
there.
Him out.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is in there until he can't be in there anymore. He's got to do just like Jacoby Brissett did. Just mm-hmm. get up. Just
yep.
get up every time. Just get up. And now hopefully make plays and do different things in between. But, no, like, this is all experience for him. This is all a part of the maturation process and creating a foundation. Wasn't that the word that Mayo used? Foundation, I believe. Early, you know, how do you measure success?
He uses a lot of words.
He does use a lot of words. There was a new one he's been using a lot this week that I didn't love. Solutions-based business or something. I didn't care for that. Put that one away. Send that one back to HR.
Pretty corporate.
Let them use that.
We're a solutions-based business.
Okay. That sounds
good. What are you, a consulting firm?
Let's go to Paulie and Dedham. Hey, Paulie.
Hey, Paulie, am I coming in good?
Yes,
can you hear me?
Yes,
loud.
Can you hear me?
Paulie.
Okay, because you guys aren't coming on in so good on my end, but that's okay. Two things. I think for the rookie going in with this defense and how the coordinator loves to be, he loves to be aggressive. I think we're going to get shellacked on Sunday. Okay, part of the learning experience. I just hope the kid doesn't get hurt. Number two, I think we're Bruins are in for a long year. I know I'm taking a leap, but I don't like what I saw the other night. I think they got the old Super Bowl hangover, so to speak.
Losing in the second round of the playoffs. That's a new twist.
You know what
on the
I mean?
Super Bowl
after getting beaten down by this team, the last two times in the playoffs, after two long years, two tough losses in the playoffs. I think you're going to see. I think they're going to start off slow. I think you're going to end up seeing an early exit by Montgomery to try to get some life back into this team.
All right, we'll see, Paulie. I hope it doesn't go like that. I mean, if they find themselves even discussing the idea of firing Jim Montgomery anytime before New Year's, then something went horribly wrong.
Yes.
I mean, if you're even entertaining that, then this season was to the halfway point anyway, or whatever it is by the time you get to January. If you get to January and you're thinking about firing the coach, then this was a disaster. That's what it'll be. It'll be a disaster of a season.
Absolutely. Now, I don't have any. Now, he was alluding to the Super Bowl loser hangover,
right?
I believe. So you've been beaten by the Panthers 2 years in a row, and now you just kind of falter and can't muster up whatever the motivation, the ability to get back to a high level.
Right.
I don't totally discount that. Like
the year they went to the Cup final against St. Louis and lost, I remember. I mean, we were doing watch along shows and stuff like that. After they lost that game, that summer was the most dead sports summer I can remember. Mm-hmm. That 2019 summer, the Red Sox were lousy. It was really. I mean, that left a mark on everything. I remember that very clearly, and I think that can happen when you get that close. It's Game 7. You're at home and you blow it like that. That's going to leave a mark through the summer. It shouldn't leave a mark like that when you get knocked out in the second round. I mean, that's not the same thing. It's not the same kind of letdown. Even the year before that, when you had that great regular season and got bounced in the first round, that leaves a bigger mark than something like last year. And they came up off the mat after that. You know, they bounced back after that, and they were competitive last year, and they made it a round further than they did before. So I don't know. I don't buy that. I don't think that applies to the season.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about that because I think they're going to bounce back tonight, and then we're going to overemphasize. It's Monday, right? Monday afternoon.
Yep.
They play the Panthers again. We're going to overemphasize that game probably more than we should, which is what we do.
Absolutely.
But
certainly what I do.
Yeah. And no, I'm a very reactionary, recency bias kind of guy too. It's what sports are.
It is.
If you're just going to wait until wait till midseason and then we'll assess it.
And then we'll talk about the Bruins on our daily talk show. It's like, no, talk about them now.
And even if you're a fan, forget the talk show part. If you're a fan, don't you watch it every night to ride a high and
absolutely
a low and have a little juice and have a little energy in your boring life or whatever, and it gives you a little something to do, and you want to be emotional. If you're not emotionally tied to it, then you're not really all that tied to it at all.
Agreed.
And if you are emotionally tied to it and they go out and embarrass themselves and look bad, then your emotion is going to be affected. You're going to have an emotional reaction, correct?
Yes, you will, absolutely.
That's how it's supposed to be.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Jump on if you get a chance to. We got open lines here for you. Before we pass things over to, what is it, KJ and Lions tonight?
No, Fitzy and Shine.
Fitzy and Shine taking off until Thursday night football, or do we have BC football tonight, I think, maybe? Either way, we have lots of great programming for you coming up
here
at WEEI.
Host one is struggling.
Just a little bit.
Did you do shots?
There was a game this week.
I saw shots going around. Did you do shots?
Oh, like you knew what was coming up today. You didn't know either. Shut
like,
up.
What's the show? What sport? Is there another show on after us?
I know what our show
BC?
Is.
BC?
617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. Odds and ends when we come back. All right, we got a couple of minutes left here. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. We are live at Scores on Canal Street. Big crowd in here right now as everyone's pre-gaming, getting ready for the Bruins and the Canadiens, trying to erase that awful memory of Game 1 against Florida.
Show today brought to you, by the way, by Jameson, official partner of the Boston Bruins, with Jameson Black Barrel, Jameson Orange Specialty Cocktails. Walk on up to one of the friendly bartenders here at Scores and order one right now, and they'll take care of you like they've been taking care of everyone here. Great, great staff, great crowd as the Bruins and their fans getting ready to take on Montreal. All right, let's take a couple of quick calls here before we get to odds and ends. We'll start with Chris in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. So I was just curious. So with Drake starting on Sunday, does the whole scheme of the run-first offense, does that change? Or is every week are we going to be saying we're not throwing enough?
Well, Chris, I think that it's going to have more to do with the fact that Ramondre Stevenson hasn't practiced in the last 2 days. So the entire offense may look different in that regard if you have Gibson is your first guy, Hasty is your second, and you call up Harris off the practice squad. That's going to be a much less, I think anyway, on paper, a much less effective running attack. And again, maybe it'll be good. Who knows? You never know until you get out there on the field. But yeah, I could see them passing more than maybe they wanted to just based off of that.
Yeah, they might have to. I mean, if you're chasing and you don't have Ramondre Stevenson and you don't have kind of the offense you want to be, but I would say in general, they still want to keep the passing attempts in probably the low to mid-20s.
Yeah.
And I think most teams that start rookie quarterbacks, that's part of the plan. It's cliche for a reason. It's old school for a reason. Like, you go back to the early days of Tom Brady. He wasn't throwing the ball very much. You had a running game with Antoine Smith. You had defense. That's how you bring young quarterbacks along. Now, I don't think the game plan changes either. Like, I think they're going to run the same basic offense.
Yeah.
A little bit more gun, a little bit more zone read.
A few more hook and ladders, maybe?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Maybe a few more deep balls. But I think it's going to be the same basic
more
West
than
Coast
zero.
Offense. Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely more than zero. But also, some of it is going to be dictated. If you go down a couple scores, you get it, and you're trying to win.
Yeah.
If you are trying to win,
you got to throw.
Well, then you got to throw to come back.
Yep,
100% reality.
Damon is on the Cape. Go ahead, Damon.
Hi, how you guys doing? I love the show.
Good, Damon.
Thanks.
I just wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on Joe Milton? You know, he didn't get to show his things at Michigan. He went to Tennessee, but he's a freak athlete. He throws the ball with high velocity. Do you think he's a better option or ever going to get his kick?
I don't think he's a better option, though.
Did he
Damon,
say better option?
Better option.
Did he say better option?
Is he the better option to start than Drake May, maybe? It's amazing how, and I remember the days of Drew Bledsoe and Michael Bishop. I remember those
yep.
days. I remember those days clearly. I was like coming of age as a sports fan back then, and I remember people demanding to see Michael Bishop at the end of these dead-end seasons in the 90s where they were eliminated in like week 11 and it was just nothing really to play for and let's see Michael Bishop and they just wouldn't put him in. And I feel like this is starting with Joe Milton when his counterpart is also a rookie and you haven't seen the other rookie, the good rookie yet either. Wait until the good rookie plays and see how he looks before you start begging for Joe Milton. I just think that's so weird.
I don't understand this hesitancy to enjoy the moment and enjoy Drake May. If we have to talk about Joe Milton later, we'll talk about Joe Milton later.
Yes.
There's a reason Joe Milton was not the third pick in the draft.
No.
There's a reason he played for two schools. There's a reason he's seen as a late developer if he develops at all. There's a reason people asked him, would you be willing to play tight end? Because he's an athlete, not
right.
a quarterback, right? Like, he has a stronger arm than Drake May. Other than that, and Drake May doesn't have a weak arm.
No.
Joe Milton just has
a freak
special freak arm.
Yeah, right.
But other than that, what does he do better than Drake May?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Let me put it to you this way, Damon on the Cape. If you see Joe Milton, it's going to be the same as the Jim Montgomery thing. Something went horribly wrong.
Yes.
There is a disaster happened this season. If Joe Milton's in there and he's playing meaningful snaps,
correct.
That means that the season has gone completely sideways. Drake May's gone sideways. It's all bad. Everything's bad. So that's what I would associate. And it's no offense to Joe Milton, but if I see Joe Milton, I'm going to assume bad things.
Well,
all
also,
right.
Any team that has to start its third string, sixth round rookie quarterback,
yeah.
Everything has gone horribly wrong.
Agreed. All right. Aaron Rodgers was on with the Pat McAfee show yesterday,
yeah.
And he had a very spirited defense of not so much the head coach that got fired, but of the idea that he got him fired. Stiz, if you would.
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, and that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't. But I love Robert, and it was, you know, one of those days yesterday.
That was more than one sentence, just
yes,
for the record.
Was.
And by the way, no one in the world believes a single word of that.
Nope.
If he wanted Salah to be there,
If he wanted Saleh to stay on as head coach, Robert Saleh would not have gotten fired, and that is a that is an Arcan guarantee right there. This guy is unbelievable, the stuff he says, and just expects everyone to go along with. He went on about Robert Saleh and his family and all that stiz. Do we have this?
Yeah, this was my favorite when he starts waxing poetic about the family.
All right, yeah, let's hear, thank you, Robert.
Sorry. All right, ready?
Go ahead.
First of all, thank you to Robert. Thanks for bringing me in and getting on board with that. You know, I'm thankful for Robert. I'm thankful for his leadership for our team. I'm thankful for the conversations that we were able to have and, you know, him trusting me and the way he cared about his players and a big love out to his family, wife, their kids, especially Adam, sending you a big hug, buddy. Just remember this, there's a human side to this. There's the humanity in all this. And there's a family, an extended family that's really hurting. So when you're out there, as the internet does and as people do, celebrating this in whatever way you do, just remember there's a human aspect to it.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding us that everyone here involved is a human being and not a tree or a animal of some kind. No, thank you very much for that, Aaron. That's important information for us to have. This guy's so full of crap. He's unbelievable.
He is. That is a great
people
way to put it.
People defend him. It's just so funny. Like, how can you defend that? How can you listen to that and be like, yeah, this guy's really a straight shooter. Like, this guy's more full of crap than any five people I know.
He's a fraud.
Yeah,
he is
really
an absolute annoying fraud. And do I think he got him fired? I don't. Do I think he could have prevented it if he wanted
100%.
To?
100%.
I do. 100%. I'm with you on that 100%.
One last item that we have here. This is from, I don't know what state this is from. It must have been from Florida,
yes,
I guess.
Yes, Florida.
There was a meteorologist who, when discussing Hurricane Milton, which has now been downgraded, I think, to a Category 2, really softened a little bit here in the last 24 hours, made a great analogy to the Patriots.
You might still be in the eye right now. There's a lot more to go. I think back to, you know, the Atlanta Falcons' first half Super Bowl winner. We know what happened to the second half when the Patriots came back to life. So do not sleep on the second half of Milton, and we're definitely concerned now with this surge.
Now, is that guy definitely a Patriots fan or definitely a Falcons fan? Because it's down in that region, so you think maybe he's like remembering.
I would think more Falcons,
right?
But
he also talked about it like in a positive way, like, yeah, hey, don't forget about those Patriots.
Well,
right?
He's telling you that second half can really change and really things can pick up in the second half. So that's a great point I hadn't thought of. I don't know. Or maybe he's just a football fan and remembers that as one of the great
Certainly
Super Bowls that he ever saw.
Either way, I don't know exactly how that fits in meteorologically into what he was
saying.
Well,
because you're in the eye of the storm. That's when it goes quiet. So the
right.
First windy part, quiet, and then there's a badass windy part on the back end.
And then here comes James White scoring that touchdown in overtime.
And then you go to overtime. James White!
Pretty good. Pretty
and then
good.
Julian Edelman's running around.
And
it'll be a hell of a story.
I leapt into Fred Smirlis' arms like it was Dirty Dancing.
Did you really?
Oh, yes, I did. We were doing the post game, and it was just the two of us watching the game, and I jumped. He lifted me up like he was Patrick Swayze. It was tremendous.
That's a memory you'll have forever.
Forever. Forever and ever. Miss you, Pete.
Beautiful words by a beautiful man.
Thank you very much. I miss you, Freddie. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Keep it going now for Shime and Fitzy, Fitzy and Shime, who will take you all the way up to Thursday Night Football. That's coming up next. Want to say big thanks to everybody here at Scores. Great time as always. They always take such good care of us. Bruins tonight with the Montreal Canadiens. And we got everybody walking in now. Big, big crowd. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll talk to you then back in our studio right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.